This morning's scripture reading is from Psalms 90, verse 8. I'll be reading from the updated New American Standard. That's Psalms 90, verse 8. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
Good morning again. It's our delight to be here, especially so my wife and myself, though the journey was hard and difficult. But one of the things that we actually was not too comfortable with the security checks. You know, at one time she was placed in a cubicle, something like a glass, and then she was asked to do like this. And then some scanning was done. Do you understand? Those of us who travel. So I wonder why they should take my wife in there. But some places, they will ask me to remove my belt, my shoes, and all of that. So all of that to make sure that we can live in peace, which is good. Amen. So this morning, whilst we're going all through that, I decided to do this. We are not looking for physical things that are not good. Where is the... No, this is okay, it's good. Bah. This morning, I want you to look at what is on the slide. That there is no secret with God. You know, those of us who come with contraband, those things that are not allowed in the United States, are usually searched thoroughly. So with God, we sometimes come in with things that God does not want. So let's look at something this morning. Suppose right at that door, these are mad, those other doors are closed. That is the only door that is opened. And each of us would have to come in here to worship God. But as you come in, you know, the door is behind me. As soon as I step right under the door, there is a device there that will scan all through me, as in the airports and all of that. But what that will do will not show that I have a key, or probably I have 10,000 or 15,000 US, no. But it will tell us, right here, everything that Christian has done. Are you following what I'm saying? Christian and Mary are here to worship. But before they should come through that door, they have to stand under the device. This is a device. And that device will scan me spiritually. Not physically, spiritually. If a device were hung at the entrance to this building, and a screen like this displays all that you and I are doing, or what we did, or what we intend to do, just for 1 month, go back and forward. That you and I will be ashamed of. Are you following me? So in other words, as soon as Asriel steps under the device, he says, Christian, you have done this. Everybody knows what I have done. Within this week, what you intend to do this week, that you and I will be ashamed of if somebody knows about it. Are you following me? How many of us will come to this building with shoulders high? Well, with me, I'll wait until Mary gets in first so I can know what is happening with her. Because you know, when the argument begins, they'll say, okay, you yourself, you did this, you did that, and all of that. But there's nothing hidden from God. Amen? We have come here this morning. I don't know what you have done. You don't know what I have done. But in the sight of God, Everything is open to God. There is no secret with God. And therefore, we ought to fear. We ought to fear God. Because God, in 2 Kings 17 and verse 9, Israel was already in captivity. And God is giving his reasons. So if we begin to read 2 Kings 17, 9 following, you find out that he said, these people, my own people, let's see what Israel did. Israel had set up images. They thought that God does not know. There are times we go to our little corners, in our bedrooms, in our backyards. We do things, places away from where the brethren are, thinking that God does not see us, nobody sees us. But here is God telling children of Israel that, yes, I used to see you setting up images. I used to see you burning incense as the heathen, the pagans. I used to see you serving idols. Nothing is secret. So some of what Israel did secretly was just open book to God. Notice that what he mentioned here was not anything secret. So how sad? How sad is it to see the delusion that they were under, that they could keep anything secret from God? Is it not also true that we too were often under the delusion that, yes, I have a secret that nobody knows? You have a secret that nobody knows? She has a secret that nobody knows? No, God knows all our secrets. Please, as from today, anytime you're coming through this door to worship God, know that God knows who is coming here. The Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. We need to be afraid. You know, fear is part of the human condition. We need to be afraid that God knows everything that we do. You know, it was so sad years back when the towers fell. It was the World Trade Center. I was watching that over CNN. And I saw lovely people, Americans, running helter-skelter, this one, under fear. And also I remember when the Philistines, especially Goliath, was standing, challenging the host of Israel. 80 times he came up the valley of Elah and said, give me one man. But the Bible tells us that the children of Israel were afraid. We need to be afraid that God knows what we are doing. Look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. I want to believe that Adam and Eve thought that, oh, God was far off. Let me have a bite. And Adam, come. Nobody sees us, you know. And then the Bible says, as soon as they have eaten of that food, what happens? God came walking. And as he walked, what? Adam hid himself. God said, why are you hiding? I hope you have not. So now I'm afraid. That is why I hid myself. No fault of Abel. God had rejected Cain's sacrifice. And then, out of jealousy, he killed his brother. Nobody was there. And then he buried him. Thinking God has, no, nobody will see him. I want to believe even if the father or mother asked, where is your brother? They would say, I left him somewhere. But God knew. That's why he said, hey, where is thy brother? And then he said, hey, am I his keeper? God knows our secrets. That's our fear. That I have that whatsoever I do, God knows. We also saw in 2 Samuel 12, 1 to 7, that God knew David's sin, a secret, how he set up Nathan, he set up the husband of what's this lady's name? The lady's name? What? Bathsheba. All right. So set up the husband. He was the chief. Uriah. All right. Uriah to be at the battlefront so he can be killed so that he can have his wife. So he was planning, thinking that he's the king. He has his smart. But later on, God sent Nathan to him and said, "Look, there are two people. One this, that. Then he said, "Oh, the other man." He said, "Well, that are the man." There are times we should be very, very careful that we are doing things that our fellows are not seeing us, our wives, our husbands, they don't read our thoughts and all of that. But just imagine if God scans through us today and just take it about 2 or 3 days back, what actually you have done or what you are planning to do, that if everybody knows, then you'll be ashamed. But God knows everything. He saw the abomination in the temple, what they were doing. He saw the dreams in the king's head, as we saw in Daniel 2. He knew the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, there are times in the church, you see people trying to do as others are doing, even though they are not honest about what they do. You remember there was a time that people were selling their property, bringing everything and all that. But Ananias and Sapphira, like maybe and Christian, they had a plot of land. Nobody forced them. You just sell your land, keep it if you don't want to. Then they say, "Hey, let's go and give. Let's tell them that we too can give." And then they brought them on. But being under the Holy Spirit, they asked, "Is that all?" He said, "Yes, that is all." Right there and then, the man died. And then I know how women sometimes be. It's okay, let me go and follow up. Because let's see how the plan has worked out well. As soon as she stood there, they said, "Woman is there?" I said, "Behold, here are the feet of those who have just buried their husband." There are times we do things in secret, husband and wife. We harbor a lot of thoughts, negative thoughts. Wicked hearts. Remember during the Bible class, we made mention of wicked imaginations, devising evil. Nobody knows. No human knows. But God knows. God knows what is in our hearts. God sees in our heart. So we have to be afraid. The wicked will always fool themselves that God does not know. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to God. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. It's hard for the finite mind to comprehend that. How can God see everything? How can He see in America, see in Sierra Leone, see in China, and all of that? No. Unto what can we liken God? We cannot confine God. Otherwise, you want to say it's limited. But God is everywhere and He knows. We have to be afraid. The evil man thinks that God will not see his deed. In Psalms 10, 8 to 11, let's see what it says. In Psalms 10, 8 to 11, the Bible says, are you there? Somebody read. Help me. Yes.
He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent.
Yes.
His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless.
Yeah.
He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net.
Yeah.
So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength.
Yes.
He has said in his heart, God has forgotten.
Yeah.
He hides his face.
Yeah, you see, you do all your wicked things, and they say, God will not save you. God has turned his back on this world. I can just do things as I like. I just go on. As long as nobody sees me. That is why in Lord they say, you are only guilty after being tried. But some of us, we are already guilty by what we do, because we have our conscience that tells us that, no, this is not a Christian standard. This is not what we should have been doing. But there are times we just suppress that warning sign, that warning signal. You know, some people, they fail to put on their seatbelts, or sometimes they deliberately, they connect it at the back so that you not disturb them. You know, there are times we just dispense of our conscience after doing a lot of things. But God sees everything. Evil cannot be hidden. God sees our sins as the brother has read. We know we can't get away with sinning before God. Sin is a transgression of God's law. God knows that you and I, we stole if we did steal. He knows about the drinking we've done. He knows whether we have been in any kind of stupor for the last week, the last year. He knows. He knows about all the lustful thoughts that we have. Oh, how am I seeing this person? How am I seeing this person? How am I lost in against this person? But Jesus Christ said, if you feel lost after, you have already committed adultery. If you hate the person too much, you've already committed murder. Not necessarily doing the action. And also, God knows the grudge that you hold. You know, some people say, back home, they say, look, this thing, I will never be done with it until I go to my grave. Even beyond my grave. They make up their minds. For better something, they hold on to it. What grudge do you hold? Look at yourselves. Are you on speaking terms with everybody, in your neighborhood, everybody? How much have you, you know? What are some of the wicked imaginations? I remember two people were fighting one day. So I went between them. I said, look, why are you fighting? Then one of them said, he's my best friend. I said, but then why should you fight? He said, we had seen the football match together. We had had dinner. We were going home. So I dropped him at his house. And after I went home, the next day, somebody told me that this is my best friend. That M1, I had stayed all my time with yesterday, wished me when I was driving back for me to be involved in some gruesome accident and die. So that's why I've come out for him. Why should I have such a wish for me? You know, there are times we have friends. We have enemies. We have wolves in sheep clothing. We have a lot because we are just finite. We cannot understand. In fact, some of the lessons that we'll talk about, the moment we begin to understand life, we die. It's just futile. So, what we're going to do is that we're going to make sure that we know that God knows everything we do. You know, my children, if they keep something from me, I will not scold them. I will not tell them anything. Because I think that they are fine. But if I know my Father in heaven knows what Christian is doing now, what he thinks about that beautiful sister back there, what he thinks about that handsome brother back there, what does he think about? If he knows all, then I'll guard my thoughts. I'll make sure that I do not step out of the standards. So, he knows the things that will shock your closest friend. Is that frightening? Does that make us tremble? Are we afraid that God knows something that will actually shock my closest friend, my closest brother, my closest companion? God knows something that will shock me. I've been along with my husband for the past 24 years, and this is what he's engaged in. Oh, she'll be shocked. What about us? Does he know? Well, let me tell you this. The Bible says, God is going to bring it up at judgment. Amen. 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 So let it be. Let the church say, so let it be. Amen. You know, back home, we say two things. We said God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And there are times you say, let it be. Amen. That's the meaning of it. So let it be. Let God bring it to judgment. Because if we go with impunity, nothing, we can just do as we please, and then we just go on, go on, go on. It will be unfair to those who want to live the life of a Christian. So God has promised to bring it in judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, my dear brother.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yes.
Hear God and keep his commandments.
Yes. For
God shall bring every work into judgment.
Yeah.
Every secret thing.
Yeah. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every secret thing. But I love it. It's not only for the bad, not only for the evil, but for good as well. So therefore, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice. I know that all the good things that I've done in secret, God will reward me. So you see, are we trying in this life to do all those things, to not do all those things that are evil, but to do all those things that are good, even in secret, because God will bring you to light at judgment. And you see, the judgment is one of the calls that will answer on the fourth day. Yes, on the fourth day of the gospel meeting. Please come. It's not going to be one in which it's a travesty or a mockery of the judgment. It's going to be a judgment by the judge whom God has raised, according to Acts 17 and verse 31. God will bring the secret things to light. And also, he reward those good things done in secret. I want to believe that some of us, we do things ostentatiously. Do you know that word? Ostentatiously? So everybody can see? Yo, just say to everybody, oh, I'm this, blah, 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 blah. But in Matthew 6, Jesus Christ is saying that, do not let your arms go before men. Yesterday I was so happy about what some sisters did for Mary and myself. They did not let their arms go before men. They simply went to us. By the time we could make, we saw ourselves in some store and all of that, jaffily and all of that. And we really appreciate it. But honestly, I wouldn't want after service. You say, oh, a Christian, do you in your Bible class? You said you'll be in this suit. So you know what? Hey, everybody, look. Christian, this is $25. $25. I want you to go and buy yourself a pair of shoes. Everybody looking at you, giving. I will take it. I won't say no. But you won't have any reward for it. Because Jesus Christ said, you do not make your arms go before men. Because God sees you in secret. But if I, after service, you see, brother, thank you very much. I want to bless you with this, and nobody sees. But if you hold it, hey, everybody, I'm blessing, but a Christian, you understand, then definitely God will not bless you. Matthew 6, 1 to 6. Quietly, verse 6 says, and God, who sees you in secret, can what? Reward you openly. That which is hidden will be made known. All of what we have buried will someday, if we have faith in the word of God, will be made known. In Luke 8, 16 to 17, we saw what happened there. Luke 8, 16 and 17. It says, no man, when he lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but set it up as a candlestick, that while they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. It's quite interesting that we now begin to watch all what we have been doing. I want to believe as I preach this sermon, it is telling me something as well. Christian, what did you do last week? What did you do? What did you do? What are the evil things? What? So we start making corrective measures because we cannot escape. In Matthew 25 to 31 following, all says the same thing. But this, the last one, number four, it says there is a record kept in heaven. A record kept in heaven. Revelations 20:11-15, the Bible says, I'll read this for emphasis sake. Revelations 20:11-15, the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God. Yes, brethren, we shall all be arraigned before the judgment seat of Christ. That is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. It says we must all, must, on compulsion, no latitude, we must stand before the seat of judgment. We shall all be arraigned before the seat of Christ. So we're all there. And the books were open. The books. You know, I know you have a registry here when you're married. You go to the registry department. You put it there. So if there's any dispute, you say, no, they were married. And so they check your records. We have record departments. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Which... And the dead were judged out of those which were written in this book according to their work. The Bible says, and the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead in which were them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's the spiritual death. And whosoever was not found in the written book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brethren, we are all prone to making mistakes. We are of the flesh. We struggle in the flesh. In Romans 7:14-25, we saw the Apostle Paul was actually engaged in the spiritual battle. In Romans 7:14-25, he said, when I find myself doing good, you know, wanting to do good, that I do evil. All right, if you go through that, you find out that in verse 24, he said, and what? Who wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? In other words, there are times we are really in struggle. He said, I see my members warring against each other, bringing me into captivity. There are times we struggle as Christians, but let us always know that the records are kept. And we shall be judged out of that record, out of that book of life. So next time, when we find ourselves coming into this building to worship, let's imagine that the moment we get under the door, everything that we've done for the last week will show up here. Everybody will see it. So people will stand up and look, oh, Brother Asgill, oh, really? Oh, that's what Brother Asgill did. Oh, wow. Is that what he did? Oh, it was nice in everything that you did. And that's how it's recorded in heaven. We'll be judged out of those things in heaven. So therefore, Psalms 19 and verse 12 says, brethren, David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. We need to ask God to actually help us. Because if we're alive, allow our darling sins. Do you know what are darling sins? Sins that we love doing. It reaches the point that we think that, We do not see anything evil about it. We love to do them. But these are secret faults. David is saying, cleanse me from my secret faults. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, the brothers just said that. He said, God shall bring to judgment all. Therefore, I don't know how many of us here have not been added to the Lord's church. If you are outside of the Lord's church, yours is worse. Because the Bible says there will come a time that judgment must begin in the house of God. What would not happen to those outside? So we encourage you this morning to heed the plan of salvation. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, the grace of God appeared unto all men. You know, why I said what? We're yes, sinners. Christ died for us. He wants us to hear his word as you have heard this morning. Because that's what the Bible says. You need to believe his word, accept. If you don't believe, you will die in your sins. We need to repent. That's what the sermon is calling for. Repent of those secret things that we think we are doing, which is open book to God himself. And let us confess Christ as the Son of God. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 10 and verse 32, whosoever confesses before men the same, will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Romans also 10 and verse 10, it talks about that. In Acts 2 and verse 38, we saw the day of Pentecost after Peter had preached. Verse 37, or even from verse 36 when he concluded, he said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same man whom thou hast crucified both Lord and God. Verse 37, it says what? When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. I know this morning we are all pricked in their hearts that God knows our secrets. And they asked, what shall we do? Those of you who are outside of the Lord's church, repent and be baptized. That's what he told them. But for us who are already in the church, erring Christians, we always have the Lord of second chance. But we cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. Let us all, as we leave this building today, resolve to walk in a way as if we now know that there's nothing secret with God. And we'll start to walk assiduously so that when we part with time for eternity, we hear the good words, well done, thou faithful and servant, enter into the joys. Let us continue steadfastly. When Paul had discussed all about the resurrection in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, he said, therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Brethren, I love this brethren. I love you all. And I want us, even if I do not come back here, I do not see you face to face for all of life on earth. I know that I will visit you in your mansion someday. I know I will say, hey, let's go and see Brother Emmanuel down at his mansion. And then someday Brother John will say, bring over your family to me, man, so we can have Emmanuel some communion and all of that. That is what we intend. We exhort each other. We encourage each other. And I know that someday we shall all make it to heaven. Amen. We feel pleased to be in your company. And this sermon really cuts my inner part as well. Because we all have secret things. But they're not secret. It's open to God. Let's work on those. As we stand and sing the song of invitation, do you sing a song? All right. Those of us who need a prayer for God to strengthen their resolve to forget about the secret things that they do, that they enjoy doing, for God to strengthen them, you can ask him, the elders, we can pray for you. All right. Oh, I'm an elder, but not within here. I'm sorry. Back down there, but the elders can do that for you. And also, those of you who are not yet Christians, you can walk as we sing and confess Christ as the Son of God, and you are added to his doctrine. You know, it could have been much worse if Christ had not come. Take hold of Christ, and you find out life on earth will be very, very smooth. So God bless you. I hope you all have a wonderful Sunday as we stand and sing.
Amen.